Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Now, Father, I ask tonight, Lord, for an anointing to be able to reach into the grave. God Almighty, where people are living in death, have settled in a place of death, Lord, I ask you for this skill of a physician, O God, to go, Lord, where only your hand can. Jesus, don't let anybody die in their sin tonight who has come into this house to hear your word. Lord, just overshadow the frailty of this vessel. Let me speak with your mind. I ask it in Jesus' name. Now, in the New Testament, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, there's a story that I want to talk to you about. Now, in this particular story Jesus told, it was about a rich man. Said he had good clothing, he had a nice house, perhaps a good job, and daily laid at his gate was a beggar. And this beggar was full of sores, and it was not the type of a person that he took notice of, or there was nothing about this person that could advance his agenda or his kingdom as he saw it. Probably considered it more of a nuisance than anything else. And that's how a lot of people feel about Jesus Christ. It seems that God in his mercy will lay the story of Jesus at the door of societies that don't want him, of churches that are on another pathway, another agenda, and of individual people from time to time just hearing his name spoken, whether or not it's spoken with any degree of reverence. It's just his name brings a pang of conscience. And it seems that God is always laying this man Jesus at the gate of whatever it appears that we're wanting to do, how we're wanting to live our lives. This rich man wanted to live his life his own way. He had a lot of things. He had what he felt he needed in life as he felt that his future was assured, and probably felt that this man that was laying at his gate was perhaps a bit of an obstruction to his image of himself or his own future. And the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ, there was nothing desirable about him in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 2 and 3. We lightly esteemed him. We despised him. He was like a root out of dry ground. And I can imagine this rich man looking. Now, he's a man who had goods. It doesn't mean he was actually, his wealth had not brought him any security. He thought he was secure in it, but he actually wasn't secure. And he looked at this man at his gate. And as Isaiah says about Jesus, it looks like a root out of dry ground. There's no form. There's no comeliness. There's nothing about him that we should desire him. He was lightly esteemed. We didn't care about him. And that's the way it is with Christ, with much of society. And it says about this man who was laid at his gate, he desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. And even the dogs came and showed compassion and licked his sores. Psalm 22, verse 16, speaking about the Christ as he was crucified, says, dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet. And if this is a type, if I'm speaking about a type of Christ and you and I tonight, it speaks to me about the humility of God, that he would come and knock at my gate or your gate tonight or throughout our lifetime. Think about this last church in the book of Revelation. It says where they were rich and increased with goods and didn't feel they had need of anything. And yet Jesus himself said, I stand at the door and knock. And it's another type of this man. And he was desiring to just be fed with the crumbs which fell from his table. I'm awestruck at the humility of God, that he will come and knock at the door of my heart. Throughout the years where I ignored him, throughout the years where I cursed his name, throughout the years where I did everything and anything apart from what I should have done as a person created in the image of God. And yet he walks alongside me, whispering constantly, just looking for a crumb of my attention, as it is, for just a moment of my time that I might stop and consider what this means. What does this man at my gate actually mean? Now, the rich man didn't think it to be something, but later when he found himself separated from the kingdom of God for eternity, he knew that man at the gate actually had the key of life and was the man who could actually go to his family and tell them the way into security and the way out of a place of separation from God for all of eternity. Jesus said, "It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried." It also speaks about Jesus Christ in Luke 24:51. After he rose from the dead, it said, "He came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven." And this man who was laid at the gate of humanity was carried up by angels into Abraham's bosom, or Abraham's called the father in a sense of faith to the New Testament church. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes and being in torment, and he saw Abraham afar away and Lazarus in his bosom. Remember, Jesus rose from the dead and in a sense went to the bosom of his father in heaven. And Abraham saw it. This rich man saw it. He saw what he had done. He saw what he had missed. He saw that somehow the hand of God was in this, but he hadn't esteemed it. It couldn't advance his agenda. It couldn't help him in his pursuits. He didn't see any advantage to this. But now he's in hell, and now he understands what it's all about. Now he's separated from God for all of eternity. And he saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame." But Abraham said, "Son, remember that you in life received good things and Lazarus likewise evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all this, there's a great gulf fixed between you and I. And they who want to pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." Permanently separated. You imagine one day waking up to find that you are permanently separated from God. To find out that what you thought was going to bring you security in this world was just a sandcastle. It was just an illusion. It was just a certificate that was worthless. It offered only a temporary sense of well-being. But you failed to realize that you're an eternal creation. The moment you were born, when God gave you the breath of life, yes, your body is going to die, but you are an eternal being. You will shed this shell of a body. We all will. And the moment you shed this shell of a body, there are only two destinations. There's nothing in the middle, and there's no second chance. Abraham found out, or not Abraham, but the rich man found out that he was separated from God, but there was a great gulf between the two. There was no way to bridge the gap. There was no way out of where he was. And where he was a place of torment. I don't understand what hell is fully, but I do know that hell is the absence of God. And folks, our minds can't comprehend what that is. We can't get that. What it means to be in a place where God is not, where the sun does not rise in the morning, where the universe does not move like clockwork with its great and divine design, where hope is gone, where there's no chance for tomorrow. It's just an ever-increasing sense of lostness. Like a bad dream. Hopelessly separated from God for eternity. May that not be what happens to you. Can you imagine if you end up in hell when your life is over and you sat here tonight? You sat here. You imagine how you will feel. You heard the message that God sent his son. His son walked among us and went to a cross and died and paid the penalty for your sin. For that means that which separates you from God. He paid the price. And all he asked was a crumb of your time, in a sense, in the beginning. Just open your heart and let me come in. Oh, if that foolish rich man would have only opened the gate and let this man come in. How it could have changed the course of his life. How it could have changed his life and ultimately his destiny. Permanently separated, hopeless, lost. I once sat within view of my salvation. It was within my grasp. You know, there are some people that it would be that thought alone that would torment them most for all of eternity. There was a leader once. He said to the Apostle Paul, "You almost persuade me to be a Christian. But there's so much that I would lose. You see, I have position, power. I'm a mover and shaker, you see. And here are you, Paul, you're in chains and you're standing before me. And if I open the gate of my heart to you, I'm going to be identified with you. And look at Caesar's court. Everyone is laughing at you and they think you're a fool for following this Christ. And has it made you rich? No. I mean, you're just like a beggar traveling through the earth. And here you are just begging for a moment of my time. And so I've given you a moment of my time. But if I identify with you, then that means I more or less have to leave this place that I've carved out in life for myself. And I have to stand beside you and be identified with you as we are identified with your Christ. You almost persuade me, Paul. You see, that leader had to have seen something of sincerity in this man. He sensed something of truth, just as you do tonight. You know this is right. You know it's true. There's no real amount of convincing that is necessary. There's something in your own heart that says this is right. This is true. This is God. There's no other way 100 nations could be together and people could sing songs like this and give these kinds of testimonies of lives transformed if it weren't true. And there are some people sitting here tonight, you could say, I've never, ever sat in a place like this in my entire life. But do I dare be identified with it? Do I dare get out of where I am? Do I dare move forward? Do I dare make the commitment to be identified with this Christ? But here he is, this rich man, lost. I can't fathom what that's going to feel like because I'm not going there. Lost. There'll be a moment, perhaps, where you can actually see heaven fading. Because the Bible talks about being thrust into outer darkness. So perhaps there's a moment where the separation is in view, is that's potentially what Jesus was trying to convey. He could see as he's backing away, he could see what the salvation of his family really was. Father Abraham, send that man. Send that man. My family will be persuaded if someone rose from the dead. Try to imagine what that would be like. Now there's another Lazarus. He was a Lazarus, a man who was created in the image of God, and he was dead. Dead in sin, as some are this evening. Dead to hope. Dead to a future. Dead to his own ambitions. Dead to any chance of recovery. And suddenly, the stone that separated him from God, from a life with God, is rolled away. He's still on the earth, and even though he needs a Savior, he's still here. And some of you feel dead. Your life feels dead. Your future feels dead. Your hope feels dead. Your past feels dead. But thank God you're still here, because there is a second death that you can't escape. And suddenly the stone rolls away and he hears a voice calling him out of death and into life. And that's what's happening this evening. God Almighty, in every song, in every testimony, in every thought that's come into your mind and everything, has come to you, to the gate of your heart, and is calling you out. Calling you into eternal life, and you have to make a choice. Do I stay in death? Do I stay separated from God? Do I stay in this place that seems secure even, but it isn't? Or do I get up and Do I go with God? Now, that man made a good choice. He got up and he walked out of the grave. And he was ready to be identified with a man who was about to go to a cross and pay the price for every wrong thing he'd ever done. Don't die in your sin when you can have a Savior. If you're smart tonight, you get up out of your seat and you walk down to the gate and you'll open it and you'll let this man in. With all the reproach, with everything that it means to be identified with Christ, if you are smart, you won't care. You say, because I am not going to spend eternity outside of the kingdom of heaven. I am going to identify with that man that this whole world says is worth nothing. He is just a root out of dry ground. He's despised, scorned, and afflicted. But I'm going to identify with that man. I am not ashamed to call him my friend. I'm not ashamed to call him my Savior. I'm not ashamed to call him my Lord. I'm going to open the gate to the whole of my life and say, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, you are welcome to come into my home. You are welcome to come into my heart. You are welcome to be my friend. You are welcome at my table. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Jesus died for you because he loves you. He died for you because he passionately cares for you. He lays at the gate of your house and your heart because he wants you. He can't force you to come home to himself. He can only hope that you will notice that he's there. That you will have the sense to stop and consider this man. And to open your life. And to say, Jesus, I'm sorry it took so long. I'm sorry I have been so indifferent to the suffering that you endured to bring me home. But tonight, I want to say with a grateful heart, Jesus, you are welcome in my heart. You are welcome in my house. And I will embrace you as my friend and my Lord, and let everyone say what they will. I'm going to heaven. I'm not going to hell when I die. If that's you this evening, this isn't a game, and we're not building statistics for anything here. This is about eternity, and this is real. This is as real as everything you see around you. This is real. It's about God loving you and dying to get you back to him again. Now, you don't have to understand it all. You just have to open the gate. And you let this man that the whole world hates come into your house and into your life and say, Jesus, I don't care who doesn't want you. I do. I don't care what other people think or they say. You came for me. And I thank God tonight you've given me the sense to receive you into my house. If it's in your heart to receive Jesus Christ tonight and to be forgiven of your sin and to have an assurance that when you die, that heaven and not hell is your goal, and to begin to walk with God through this earth and to begin to be compassionate towards other people and tell them what God has done for them through his Son. If you are willing to do these things, I want you simply to raise your hand with me right now, all over the sanctuary. God bless you, all over, balcony everywhere. Now, for those who raise their hands to receive Jesus Christ, I'm going to open the front of this auditorium and invite you to come and join me here to pray a prayer together. This is your first public identification with Jesus Christ. This is the first time you're going to get up and out of your seat and say, I'm going with Jesus. I'm opening my heart to receive the Son of God as my Savior. I'm going to be forgiven tonight and I'm going to walk with God. You're doing that. You're making that public statement because it will be a statement that you have to make the rest of your life. It will be a statement that you actually don't mind making. You will be quite glad to be identified with him. There are others here that should have raised your hand, but you didn't, and in the annex as well. And you need to be here. So as we stand in a moment, I'm going to ask you to join those that raised their hands and come to the front of this sanctuary. You may have come with a friend this evening. Your friend is a little bit afraid to make that decision publicly alone. You may want to turn to your friend and say, if you want to go, I'll go with you. You don't have to go alone. And we understand that, and God understands that. We're going to stand, and as we begin to worship, those who raise their hands, please slip out of your seats. Let's stand together. Balcony, you can go to either exit. Make your way down the main sanctuary. Please come and meet me here at the front of this sanctuary. Join these that are coming. Don't be afraid. Thanks be to God. Please come in nice and close. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. The Bible says that all heaven stands and rejoices over even one sinner that comes to Christ. I want you to know that you're causing a party around the throne of God right now. You're causing angels to cry out. Move in, just move in. God so loved you. God so loved you, he sent his only son for you. That whoever believes in him should not perish, that's eternally perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved you. What a decision you're making tonight. There'll never be a greater decision in your entire life than the one you're making tonight. You are coming home to God through his son, Jesus Christ. There'll be peace in your heart. There'll be a song that God promises to give you. He promises a new mind. He promises a new spirit, a new heart. He says he'll give you power over what used to have power over you. And through life, now all of a sudden life will make sense. When you know where you're ending up, it makes sense on the journey now. You don't have to try to figure it out anymore. You know where you're going. You'll be looking at your life from heaven backwards. You can't fully understand this until you've come to Christ. Peace comes into the heart. The giftings of the Holy Spirit. God says, I'll come into your life and I'll begin to do things in you that will astound you and will astound others around you. Some here tonight, your family are going to be stunned and say, what happened to you? You used to be such a nasty person and now you're wanting to help everybody. You wanted to do good deeds. What happened to you? Please just keep coming. Just keep coming. Just as the Holy Spirit is moving upon you, you're sitting here, your heart is pounding right now. That's because God is calling you. Don't harden your heart. Just keep coming. Hallelujah. 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 What we're seeing tonight is just a small shower of a thunderstorm that's coming to New York City, where thousands and thousands are coming to Christ. Praise God. Are these deaf people coming to Christ over here? Is there any way to find out? Oh, they're praying for the people at the altar. Oh, okay. Any of these people coming to Jesus right now? Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know something here. All right, I'll do the best I can. You ready? All right. Oh, they'll have to look at me later. Give God a shout of glory tonight. We have to give Him a shout of glory. Hallelujah. Now, for you who are at this altar, what a wonderful day this is for you. What a wonderful day it is. Hallelujah. The day that the list of all your sins, and that means the things you've done against God, that it's all wiped away. You're turning to Jesus, and he covers it, and it's no longer, there's no longer a record in heaven. And he says, not only do I cover your past, but I'm going to be there for your future. And I'm going to change you. And we're going to walk together, and you're going to suddenly have a lot of compassion for hurting people. That's what God does. Hallelujah. Pray with me, please. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for coming to me. Thank you for caring about me, for loving me. Thank you for not letting me go, but reminding me tonight of how much you love me. You died for me. You paid the price for all the wrong things that I have done. Jesus Christ, Son of God, tonight I get up and I open the gates of my heart and of my life, and I invite you to come in and be my Lord and my Savior. I give my life to you. Starting tonight, we walk together. It's not me alone anymore. It's you and me, Jesus. Talk to me. Teach me. Help me to understand what my life is for and how you can be glorified through the things that I do. Thank you for promising to sit at my table and change me into the kind of a person that you have always wanted me to be. I give you the rights to everything. You can take away my past. You can help me today. And you have my future. I thank you for things in this world, but I don't trust in them anymore. My hope is in you, Jesus. From this day forward, I am your friend and your follower, and you are the Lord of my life. I believe that when I die, heaven and not hell will be my home forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.